ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
everybody, happy Monday.
We got ice coming, evidently, Jeffrey. Did you know that? See that? Possible an ice warm. There's an ice warning, which possibly means we'll have ice starting later on today. So
it's always nice when there's a sporting event somewhere like 8 to 10 hours away, particularly to the west, and then I can realize, like, oh, yeah, we'll just get that weather
so
here.
So what was the
Kansas
event?
City was kind of going through
oh,
this,
so,
and it's like,
yes.
Oh, we're going to get that.
We're going to get that later. There you go. So be careful out there as the day progresses. Today on the radio show, we will have Chris Harrington on at 10 o'clock. He was at FedEx Forum, as was I, to watch the Grizzlies break their losing streak.
Snap it.
Snap their losing streak. With a comeback from 19 points down. Begin a winning streak, Jeffrey. They've begun a winning streak now. And so we'll talk to Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock.
Beyond that, they weren't losses. They were lessons.
They were lessons. Penny used to say that a lot, right?
Yeah, but he didn't invent it.
He hasn't. Yeah, but that was the thing he used to say a lot. He hasn't used it lately.
Correct, because they've been winning.
Also, they've been winning. I haven't heard it all this year. Anyway, so... we'll talk to Chris at 10 o'clock. Otherwise, it's just us, folks. You, me, Jeffrey. We'll get through this as best we can. We do have a lot to talk about between the Tigers played yesterday and prevailed. The Grizzlies played yesterday and prevailed. While that was happening, there were two NFL games proceeding. The Super Bowl is now set. As you would have known if you had just been listening to me last week, the Chiefs and the Eagles didn't quite see the Eagles. Didn't see the 49ers being down to their fourth string quarterback, and didn't see all the zaniness that unfolded in that Bengals Chiefs game. But it is the Chiefs and Eagles in the Super Bowl. I will be rooting for the Eagles. How about you? You're going to be rooting for where your money is, man. That's clearly right.
Yeah. Well, I mean that, but. I don't know. It's tough for me to root for the Eagles. Like, I don't really.
Why is it? Oh, because the Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's not really.
It is interesting. It feels
I hate Nick Sirianni. Like, I think that guy's a douche. Cannot stand him.
I'll say this. He was considered a joke when he was hired.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it sucks that
he's a good coach.
It feels like just yesterday that people were wondering what the hell was going on with that organization.
Yeah.
Right? They're overpaying for quarterbacks. They're stacking up too many quarterbacks. They hired Nick Sirianni, who has this bizarre press conference when he is hired. And all of a sudden, here they are.
No, that's the worst part, is he's clearly a good coach.
Yeah. Anyway, we will get into all of that today. I'm not going to spend the whole day or the whole first hour talking about the Tyree Nichols situation as we did Friday. I'll say this. As I went through my days over the weekend, I can't tell you how many people appreciated the callers. Not what I had to say on Friday, but appreciated the callers Friday. I went to church yesterday at good old Idlewild Presbyterian, and afterwards, when I was going for the cookies and coffee, they have some kind of Heath Bar cookies there that are just fantastic. I mean, they're prefab, you know, mass produced cookies, and they get chocolate chip and they get sugar, and those are fine. But the one that with Heath Bar in them are just beautiful. So I was eating two Heath Bar cookies, and two different people came up and said really appreciated what everybody had to say on Friday. And all the perspectives that we got on Friday. I did appreciate that. We're not going to do it again, though. We do have a lot of sports to get to today. I'll say this, though. It was something else. Taylor Jenkins said yesterday that Tyre Nichols will be in his heart forever. And sometimes when coaches say things, they just feel like they're saying things. Sometimes a moment of silence, sort of perfunctory, we have to do this moment of silence, this person's passed, whatever, moment of silence, get through it, you know. Taylor Jenkins, when he said that, and the multiple times yesterday when he talked about all of this, he seemed genuinely rocked. And I think the city was genuinely rocked. We have never seen anything like this before. We've certainly seen lots of instances of police brutality, unfortunately, before, but we've never seen anything like this before when we have this bizarre countdown to when a video will be released, a video that we've been told in advance is horrific by everyone who's anywhere who's seen it. And so I actually went out Friday night down to Martyrs Park just to be there. That's where the protesters were. And I just wanted to, as a Memphian, see the scene and as someone who writes and talks about this stuff. So there we were at 5:30 and just waiting for this video to be released. And then when you saw the video, it's just impossible to get your mind around how you could do that to a fellow human being. And then how you could, I think the most striking thing, and some of you saw it and some of you didn't, to see the callous way they just stood around shooting the breeze as Tyre Nichols was literally dying. It's amazing how some things endure. And the I am a man slogan, the I am a man posters, there's an I am a man plaza I passed on the way to FedEx Forum yesterday. If you simply recognize that, the humanity of someone, that someone is a son, a brother, a fellow human traveler, it's hard, almost inconceivable to understand how you could react with such callous indifference to human life. So it was, I think, rocking. And I, even yesterday as the games started, it was a dramatic game. And it was an important game for the Grizzlies yesterday. Losers of five straight. Down 19 at some point, but I was there the whole time. I was like, am I going to write about the Grizzlies? Am I going to write about this other stuff? Or I felt kind of silly just writing about the Grizzlies as the Grizzlies. And what was really striking to me was that afterward, the players and the coach said the same thing. It's not that they're saying they weren't trying to win the game and it's important and they were pumped about winning the game and all of that. But Taylor Jenkins and Tyus Jones were particularly good on this. They just said it. And Tyus Jones says it may be bad to say this, but basketball just seems unimportant. And that's just how I felt the whole game. Like, you had this incredibly emotional moment of silence when they flashed Terry Nichols' picture up on the big screen. And again, there are moments of silences and there are moments of silences. This one just felt heavy and it felt emotional. And then afterwards, it ended. Thank you, they say. And then a few people started clapping. And then that cascaded. And then the arena was clapping and the players were clapping. And it was heartbreaking because it was an arena full of people clapping for a young skateboarder who will never hear it, never be aware of his place in all of this and what he is now sort of, I think, means as a human being, but also as a symbol and a cause going forward. People are going to remember him forever in Memphis. And hopefully because he sparks something good. I went out to the protest on Friday. And if you listen to the show, Chris Harrington said this, that we didn't expect, I know the nation, you know, and I'm sure some of you got the same texts and emails and calls from around the country that I got. Stay safe down there. Boy, really, you know, and I didn't foresee that there would be anything just dreadful unfolding for a variety of reasons. One is, as Achille said on Friday when he called in, justice, he's been out protesting before, protested Jordan when the George Floyd case, protested lots of different times, but here it appears that the wheels of justice are moving. And so he said, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch, but I see justice being done, he said. And so I think the fact that the DA and, you know, that we have the charges, that everyone moved so swiftly, that everyone was reacted universally in the same way. There's no denying that this was abhorrent. I think that had something to do with it, clearly. A lot to do with it, honestly. I think there is a tradition of peaceful protest in this city. I think that has something to do with it. But I went out there Friday, and I don't know, there were, I think at most 100 protesters, and there was at least a third of the folks who walked to the bridge were media, honestly. It was maybe two-thirds protesters and one-third media, at least from my rough sense as I did it. And off we went and blocked the bridge. And I was on the bridge covering it. I didn't end up writing about it that night. And yeah, it was inconvenient for the people stuck in traffic. There's no question. Stuck on the bridge. The woman who was first in line coming west to east, she just fired up her FaceTime. She had her phone, she had three different people on FaceTime, and she was like, okay, I'll get some conversation in here. They were there for hours. There was a guy in a truck, semi-truck, a bearded guy in a semi-truck, who when I walked by him, and I don't think he knew I was the media, he flipped me the bird and said, F y'all. And I get that. He was driving across the country, and he's mad. He wasn't on his schedule. Some people asked on Twitter, what's the point of this? Protests are meant to be disruptive. They're supposed to be disruptive. They're not supposed to just be something that no one in the world notices or doesn't inconvenience people. When people say you want peaceful protests, that doesn't mean that protests won't be disruptive. Of course they'll be disruptive. They're meant to be disruptive. But it was striking. Heck, they were, one of the things they were asking for was the disbanding of the Scorpion Unit. Well, lo and behold, the Scorpion Unit, which is this unit of which these five police officers belonged, that is meant to crack down on high crime areas, the unit was disbanded. A lot in the wake of a really awful thing, a lot of good things are happening. I get a little squeamish when I hear people being too self-congratulatory about how we protest the right way in this city. There was an editor at the Daily Memphian during the George Floyd protests who urged, because those were peaceful in Memphis largely, and he urged some of us, he floated the idea of someone wrote a column saying, hey, Memphis could teach the world how to protest. I was a little iffy on that then. I'm iffy on it now. The measure of a protest is what happens next. And in the wake of those George Floyd protests, we had Tyre Nichols get murdered. And so I don't think we need to be pretending we're better than anyone because we didn't protest in violent ways. I think there's a real challenge in the police culture here that needs to be addressed. But it was certainly, I was certainly grateful to see it. And my experience Friday night was entirely, you know, people, are you going to go down there? Really? Yes, it was entirely non-threatening and positive, honestly. It was a lot of people who've been seeing a lot of these issues in the community already, who've been talking about them for a long time, who sadly were in a position now that many more people are listening because of what had happened. So that happened. And then there were more protests Saturday. And then we had the Grizzlies game Sunday. And I just struggle with, and I think the Grizzlies did a little bit yesterday, what happens now? Taylor Jenkins said, we can't forget this. We can't let this just be another name that goes in the hopper. And I don't know the answer to that. What happens now? But I do think there is a chance of good things happening. And I think there can be an acknowledgement and should be an acknowledgement that we both have a crime problem in this city, which we clearly do. And we have a police culture problem in this city. And both of those things can be true. You don't have to pick one or the other. I wrote a column today about the sadness and whatever else. And one of the first comments was, okay, all that's being said, but don't we have a right to be safe in our homes? Yeah, but murdering an unarmed skateboarder has nothing to do with making you safe in your homes. It's a false choice. We can ask for a safer city and also suggest that the way to get a safer city isn't necessarily through brutality. It doesn't seem to be complicated to say that, yes, we need and should have a safer city. And the way to achieve that evidently isn't by the way we have always tried to achieve that, because we still haven't achieved that. So maybe new methods might be appropriate. Anyway, it was if you are struggling with how to carry all of this as you go back to work and back to your life, they know that the Grizzlies have that same struggle. And they said it, they talked about it openly yesterday, that they were at the game and they wanted to win the game, but their minds weren't completely at the game because they're Memphians and they care about the city and they care about justice and they care about kindness and they care about humanity. And I think it's natural for all of us to be sort of wondering, okay, how can we make a difference going forward? How do we not just go back to life as normal? How do we honor the memory of Tyre Nichols and try to turn this into something positive going forward? Jeffrey, there were games yesterday. Let's start. We'll talk about the NFL games in the next segment. I saw precious little. How did you juggle these yesterday? So the Tigers, the Grizzlies, and the two NFL games going on basically overlapping all afternoon. You are a man of multiple television yes. sets. So what was your approach?
So the NFL got TV One. Tigers were on TV Two. And then for a good portion of the, you know, the NFC Championship game, just you didn't really have to watch it. I mean, there it was a point when you realize, like, once Josh Johnson was removed from the game for the concussion and you realize, like, oh, Brock Purdy literally cannot throw the football.
Right.
The game was completely over. So you could kind of focus up on the Tigers. And
Tigers game, they win 80-68. Yeah. They are now 17-5. I will say on games like this, in addition to wanting good things for the city of Memphis, good things for the Memphis Tigers, good things for whatever, and so therefore I want them to win. I also, because I knew that was a game I was not covering because I was covering the Grizzlies game, I didn't want anything to really eventful to happen. Like, I didn't, I should be writing about that. That's how one of the things you think about as a reporter. And one of the eventful things that could have happened is they could have lost.
I would argue that's pretty much the only event.
Well, you could have had an injury.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You could have had a bad injury.
I thought you were talking about result-wise, but yes.
But so totally. You could also play a go for 60 or something.
Sure.
There are things that would make me
special
wish I was writing about it. Yes. And so as I'm watching from FedEx Forum on my phone in the first half as they're trailing, and then it's tied, and then I think they're up by a single point at the half, I think it was.
Yep.
I was like, come on, man, this isn't going to happen. This is what is happening here? I still don't know exactly what happened other than it appears they were
2 at the half.
Kendrick Davis was not so good in the first half and was really good in the second half. And this is a team that will go as far as Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams will carry them. Kendrick ultimately finished with 26. DeAndre with another double-double, 17-11. They took care of business in the second half. Was it a matter of them just, quote-unquote, sleepwalking through the first half, deciding to win in the second half, and that was that?
Not necessarily. Like, I didn't think effort was a problem in the first half. I think a big problem in the first half was they weren't finding ways to, like, run the offense through Kendrick. It's kind of been one of your complaints that you've had about Kendrick is that early in games he seems to be a little more deferential. And then it was very clear, like, with about 10 minutes to go, they started figuring out, okay, this is how we're going to
get Kendrick going. It is
amazing.
I don't even know if it's a complaint with Kendrick. It's just sort of, you know how this team, if possession, when possessions matter, they go to Kendrick, right? When possessions matter, they're like, this is how we're going to play. We're going to stick strictly to this. This is how we're going to play because this is how we're going to win. And then there are times you wonder a little bit, okay, why do we have to wait for that moment till it's in the balance? Like, it's a little bit like Penny last year when he said, in the second half, I'm just going to play my core guys who know how to win. In the first half, I'm going to play everybody. There was a point there. I was saying, well, wait a second here. If that's the way to win, why not just do that from the start? And there's a little bit like that with Kendrick's possessions. I guess you can't have Kendrick every single possession of every game running the damn show and taking every shot. But that is how they're at their best.
Yeah.
Or controlling everything, if not taking every shot.
Like, on those, to me, like, let's take those two issues. So, for instance, last year, because I think that was a legitimate complaint, one thing that's striking me watching games this year is just how little drama there is. Like, you watch Penny on the sideline, and he has the emotions that you would have going through a basketball game, but he just looks like a completely different human being because
there's no,
like,
angst.
Well, I think, like, what we're talking about, like, I think we now realize part of the reason why they had to play everyone in the first half is, like, it was trying to keep people happy.
Right.
And then in the second half, it's like, all right, well, if we keep doing this, we're going to lose. So let's play the guys that end up winning. I don't think it's quite the same with Kendrick. I think what happened in the,
there's such a clear pecking order. You
correct
think, that it, yes.
And he, like, if you look at it on paper, he got 11 shots in the first half and 11 shots in the second half. So if you really wanted to be, like, completely no duh, well, he goes 3 of 11 in the first half. He goes 7 for 11 in the second
right.
half. That's the difference. But if you were watching, it was the quality of shot was much better that he got. It felt like in the first half he was kind of, like, in bailout mode. And then in the second half also DeAndre kind of stepped it up.
To this point of I don't quite ever understand the UCF game. Where Kendrick at the end of regulation took the three and missed. Wasn't that the UCF?
Yes.
Game? Right. And then they ultimately lose that game. One of the things that has stuck in my craw for the whole season is when he said after the game, if we had been down one, I would have done it differently.
Yeah.
But at worst, it was going to go into overtime, so I decided to just take the three.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me whatsoever. The game is in the balance.
Right.
The fact that it's a bad shot whether you're down.
Correct.
Whether you have to absolutely score because you're down one, or you have to score because you're tied. Anyway, they got the win. They don't play again until Saturday. Sunday? Saturday's until next weekend. They don't play again until next weekend. I think it's Saturday, and that's Lorenzen when they're going to be giving. There's going to be.
Saturday.
It's a Tulane revenge game against Tulane. They will be honoring Lorenzen Wright, retiring his jersey, and I think that's the day of the Larry Finch bobbleheads as well. So they took care of business.
Yes.
Onward to the Grizzlies. I'll say this. It looked grim.
Oh, that first half was the, is this a real problem? Because I think even in the back of your mind, you could have, even with Friday night, and it sucked watching, you know, Kyle do what he did. It just kind of sucked.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there's no getting Kyle around it.
Comes out bombing from three.
Bombing threes and just letting you hear it. Like, it's just, like, it sucked.
And it's friend Minnesota. Yeah, we in Minnesota now.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that was just the
There's
worst.
Just no getting around that. But you could at least compartmentalize, all right, that was a horrible road trip. Just get them back home. They've been great at home. And then you watch that first half. And then you're asking yourself, okay, well, is this just, you know, they've not been great traditionally at the right after a road trip, like that first game back after a road trip. So then you're starting to, like, talk yourself into that. And then you're having the conversation in the second quarter. It's like, is there just something wrong
with it? Is something broken? Has something somewhere
Correct.
Along the way? It's like when you're driving and along as something just went boing and like, yeah,
you heard
all of a sudden,
sound,
right,
you heard a weird
right,
sound.
Exactly.
You're like, that's not good.
And but you kept driving.
But the check engine light hasn't come on. I didn't
and
get a warning.
And now you're like, oh no. Clunk, clunk, clunk,
yes.
clunk, clunk.
Hey,
I gotta do something here.
Yeah, is that just a gas problem? What we got here?
They come out, they take the lead instantly, but then they go down by 19 and can't hit a shot. Obviously, without Steven Adams, without Desmond Bane, that is a big part of it.
Correct.
They're missing not just two-fifths of their starting lineup. Offensively, they're second most explosive, dynamic, important player offensively, I think, in Desmond Bane, although Jaron may be trying to change that narrative. But there's... Their second most important player offensively from that perspective. And then the guy who unleashes in Steven Adams so much of the rest of the offense for Ja and everybody else. So it was that's clearly part of it. They didn't deny that the Tyronn Nichols stuff was part of it too. Like that there was – they weren't using it as an excuse. Like they were being honest. They were being honest. Like – Taylor Jenkins, first thing when he sat down, he said, yeah, I have a basketball job, but I'll be honest, I've been spending a lot more time thinking about this stuff than I have about basketball. And if you're a Grizzlies fan, you're like, stick to basketball! Stick to sports, Taylor! But obviously, like, again, whether you're a radio host or you sell insurance or you fix cars or you coach basketball, this stuff has to have been on your mind this weekend. And so that was part of it. And then they come out, and in the second half, they restore order. 30-17 in the third quarter, 32-21 in the fourth quarter. Ja plays 41 minutes. Jaren Jackson Jr. plays 38 minutes. Taylor was just like, I wasn't going to let this get away. You know, this is not what they typically do, but He was riding Ja. He was riding Jaren Jackson Jr. Ja finishes with another triple-double, 27, 15, and 10. Jaren Jackson Jr., 28, 8 rebounds, and 5 blocks. This in the wake of the preposterous Reddit controversy over the weekend. I don't even know why it took... Like, that's what I never understood about this was the accusation was that Jaren's getting home cooking on his stats.
Correct. Right?
And I don't understand why it took off the way it did. Like, when every smart person was immediately weighing in and saying this is ridiculous, including, by the way, David Boyd at the Daily Memphian. He's the sports editor of the Daily Memphian. He used to work on that stats crew and has worked on that on stats crews for years. And he wrote a really careful explanation of what happens on the stats crew that I was not even aware of. That every stat, every rebound, every block is, you know, someone calls it out, someone else puts it in, someone double checks it, and every one of them is double checked by Secaucus. Like, it's like, They're on the phone with them all the time on these stats. You can't just, this is not like when you're at Smith Elementary, Smith High School, and you give your home cooking. You can just write whatever you want in the scorebook. This is not like that at all. Every single stat is double, triple, and quadruple checks. It was preposterous, but that sort of took off briefly. I guess then the debunking took off. Jaren was funny about it. He said, yeah, I didn't ever weigh in. He said, I won the case. So I said, I saw I won the case. So that was cool. Anyway, you could have said the stats were inflated yesterday because they were certainly robust. 28, 8 rebounds, and another 5 blocks. Some of this, Taylor said, though, was, did it look like they were playing more energy in the second half? Yes. He said a lot of that comes down to making shots. Drew Hill had a interesting stat in his piece today at the Daily Memphian that over the 5-game losing streak and the first half yesterday, they were 54 of 182 from three, which is 29.6%, which is would easily be the worst team in the league.
Oh, by a like wide multiple margin. Standard deviations.
Yes. And and then they came out in the second half and they hit shots. Like, sometimes that does sometimes it's just a matter of hitting shots. And they did that. David Roddy was good, 11 points, 3 rebounds. Tyus Jones hit a couple of big threes in the second half, but it was Ja and Jaren who carried him to this needed win. I would not begin to pretend that everything is fixed, all is well. They're going to go on an 11-game winning streak. Would you say that, Jeffrey?
No, especially if Dez and Steven Adams are going to be out for a significant period of time. I do think it's important to note during the 11-game winning streak, like, they stayed healthy.
Yeah. Dez is, seems like any day now.
Yeah.
Dez is day to day. And Danny Green, as we know, because he told us on his podcast, is supposed to make his debut Wednesday. And Taylor Jenkins, talking about that, said that medically everything's great. There's really no, they're not worried about him medically at all now at this point. They're just worried about getting him to game shape. They've extended his 5-on-5 play. By all accounts, he's going to make his debut on Wednesday, and then we shall see. They don't look like a championship team right now, though, right?
No, they do not. They look like a flawed team. I would also argue, though, right now, how many teams do look like a championship team? Like, it does feel like January has been very, like, dog day-ish.
Right. And maybe the most important part of all of this is what kind of health Desmond Bane is going to be in, right? Like, that may be the most important thing. Obviously, I think when Steven Adams comes back, he is going to be the Steven Adams who left, right? That's the feeling. Like, it doesn't feel like he's going to be diminished.
Like, I don't know. Like, I hear everyone, but it's like, it's a knee.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It just looks so glorious.
I mean, I love when everyone does it. Oh, last night I did find myself, when he had, like, the hair down, it's like, oh, he's beautiful.
He is beautiful.
He's a handsome man.
When he has the hair down,
yeah.
He is
move over Momoa.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then there was the T-Ja dust-up, which we'll get into at some point as well. We got to take a break. I'll tell you that over at O'Call, semi-annual sale is ongoing, but you get to the sweet spot in a semi-annual sale because they have a store in Nashville, and they have this beautiful store here. And at some point in the semi-annual sale, they consolidate their merchandise from both places, and it all is right here in Memphis. and fall and winter merchandise is up to 70% off. We have reached that beautiful sweet spot. And by the way, there's an ice warning. There's an ice warning. So if you, the idea that it's not time to still be buying fall and winter merchandise is crazy. You may need it just this week. And again, biggest savings of the year, because up to 70% off at Ocall. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we do have the NFL to talk about. We'll do that next. Then Chris Herrington's going to join the show. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Just a quick with BetQL. Why does Vegas sleep on the Thunder? At 37-1, they lead the league with a 64% win rate, and this is on top of OKC finishing last season, good for second best as well. Do you know what that means? It means that the public doesn't believe in the Thunder, despite them covering 63% of their games in the last 131. Keep this in mind going forward. Thunder, best bet to cover in the NBA. I'm Trista Crick, helping you beat the books.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The new year has begun, and Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike is starting the year right with a Start Something New sales event. How about 1.9 for up to 72 months? Plus, you may qualify for 2,000 bonus cash and 500 conquest bonus cash towards your new 2023 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited. Get 2022 Jeep Renegade Sport 4x4, $399 a month, or buy it for $28,990. You got a need for speed? We got it in 2022 Dodge Charger XSD, $470 a month. But if you can't find exactly what you're looking for, we can get your dream car ordered today. No extra charges, no market adjustments, no more than MSRP at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike. So drive past the rest and come to the best. Gossett on the Pike, or shop online, GossettMotorcars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motorcars.
Cherokee P87972, MSRP 55432, 1.972 months. Trade or own any non-Stellantis vehicle. Must own for minimum of 30 days and have a current registration to qualify any 2023 Cherokee offer. Renegade NPN 79312, MSRP 30,080. Charger NH261941, MSRP 35630. Excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 131-2023. Dealer stock only.
Add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit superbook.com for terms, conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
All you CDL truck drivers and truck mechanics out there, are you looking for a different kind of company and culture to be a part of? At Waste Connection and Team Waste, our employees reap the benefits of realizing their potential with trust and full support as a second chance company. We offer competitive pay, signing bonuses, tool allowance for our mechanics, and at the end of every workday, you get to be home. Our culture is built on taking care of each other and the communities we serve. Apply today at careers.wasteconnections.com. And become a part of a great team of people.
It's game on at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica. Win big in our sports book, where you can join us on Saturday, February 11th to watch all the action in UFC 284. Win with your taste buds when you dine in one of our food venues, including Willie and Jose's. Try traditional Mexican dishes along with making your own burritos, tacos, and bowls. Be a winner any way you play and anytime you stay. Only at Sam's Town Tunica. See Boyd Rewards for full details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Are you shopping for a new watch, an engagement ring, any kind of jewelry at all? Then come shop where the Grizzlies and former University of Memphis Tiger Greats shop. Platinum Jewelers here in Memphis. Platinum Jewelers has a big selection of earrings, stackable rings, luxury watches, necklaces, bracelets, really whatever you need. We do custom jewelry and have two locations in the area. One is 545 Perkins Extended in East Memphis and at 9387 Poplar next to Fresh Market in Germantown. So if you need anything jewelry related, come see Platinum Jewelers.
You've heard me talk about Dr. Mehdi Siddiqui and his staff at the Smile Center, but here's the thing. Even if you don't have insurance, they have a membership plan at the Smile Center, in-office insurance plan for patients that do not have dental insurance. If you want whiter teeth, you can now have a white, dazzling Hollywood smile with Zoom in-office whitening. You can have a white smile in less than 2 hours. Go see Dr. Mehdi and his clinical staff. They've all been vaccinated. 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek. Phone number is 309-1333. SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Kansas City Steak Company, another AmericanEagle.com success story. Started in 1932 as a family-owned butcher shop, today they're a leading distributor of superior all-American steaks delivered right to your door, ready for the grill and your taste buds. When it came to their website, an average site wouldn't do. They chose AmericanEagle.com to take their website to the next level. With a dramatic increase in competition and a softening market demand, they had two challenges: improve their brand presence and message, and produce a positive return. AmericanEagle.com got to work and executed usability studies and detailed audits of site experience, digital assets, and marketing. The result? An integrated digital marketing and customer experience plan, organic traffic increase of 20%, and a long-term roadmap for success. If you love great steaks, go to KansasCitySteaks.com for website design, development, and online solutions that bring efficiency and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com. If you need a results-driven website, call the team at AmericanEagle.com at 877-WEBNOW1. That's 877-WEBNOW1.
We're talking with Justin Wynn, the GM of Red River Ford Toyota in Wynn. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, Dennis. It's good to be here. I'm glad to be on Memphis Radio. I tell you, we've got a lot of good things going on. For the last couple of years, you've seen dealers battle the shortage of new car inventory. You've seen prices on new cars going up. Well, those days are coming to an end. We've been able to build a supply of new car inventory sitting here on the lot. So you're actually able to come by, look at vehicles, drive vehicles, push the button, smell that new car smell. I've got plenty of new Toyotas sitting here in stock. I've got new Ford sitting here in stock. I have access to over 700 quality pre-owned vehicles. So if you don't see something that's going to fit your needs and wants, please let us know. More than likely, we have that at one of our other locations. I'll deliver it straight to your driveway, just like I will with any vehicle purchase. There's no need to cross the river and come over, but you do need to give us a call. 870-238-7770. And of course, we're always open at RedRiverFordToyota.com.
Life is full of ifs. If you see potential in every day, if you push for that promotion, and even bigger ifs, like if you say, I do. If you can cash flow like a pro and get paid up to 2 days early, if you can safeguard against surprises and supercharge your savings, the if in life becomes less iffy. Regions Life Banking makes it possible. If you're interested,
let's talk about the if in life. Regions Bank, embrace the if in life.
Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Jeff's guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Super Bowl is set. Eagles and Chiefs first. How do you feel about the Super Bowl, Jeffrey?
I don't know.
I think it's good.
I don't know. I found myself wondering last night, do we miss the Patriots?
No. No.
I don't know. I just found myself just
you
not getting
Brady and the Patriots. Well, I will say it seemed like for all the talk about the great young quarterbacks and everything else, particularly with Patrick Mahomes limited, it seemed like these were four not great teams. Like, what is your great team in this group?
And I wonder, maybe are we now, are like in the NBA, are we in a situation where maybe there's not a great team? And you know what the reason why the Chiefs are in the AFC Championship game, or in the won the AFC Championship game? They have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
The Eagles just have a great roster.
They're a really good team. The Chiefs are a really good team and have a great, great quarterback.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, just because one game was such a stinker, disappointing day.
And it was a tone setter.
It just was a disappointing day. It was not this doesn't feel like a, man, can't wait for the Super Bowl, epic.
Correct.
Whatever. There's like, what, I mean, if you.
I'm not going to spend the next 2 weeks
thinking
about.
If you want to get involved in the Kelce brothers, yeah. You know, like that.
Or the Andy Reid Bowl.
If that's what we're getting ourselves fired up for, it's the Super Bowl, though. You don't need it, any of that.
Correct.
That's the beautiful thing about it. Like, we had. You know, we've had lots of Super Bowls involving Carolina Panthers and Atlanta Falcons and teams that aren't particularly particularly interesting, and we all watch anyway.
Oh yes, we have nothing better to do,
and it's a magnificent spectacle. It is. It's magnificent. All the crap. By the way, on Super Bowl Sunday, when do you start watching?
I'm not the person to ask. I have pregame on all day.
And are you watching all day?
In and out.
I don't start watching Super Bowl Sunday until the anthem. Or if there's some pre-anthem, like an America the Beautiful thing going on there. Like,
sure.
It might be that. I don't want any of the
When the pageantry starts, that's when you start.
I don't need to hear what Jerry Bridge. Like Jimmy Johnson is obviously a smart guy. I watched briefly some of that show, and he said, you know, if Joe Burrow, did you see this? If Joe Burrow wins tonight and he goes on and wins the Super Bowl, we might have to start talking to him about as one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. Like, whoa, Jimmy.
Yeah, let me.
Whoa.
Let me take a seat next time. How about a
whoa.
Warning? Let me know I need the oven mitts first.
I just don't need any of this.
The problem with those pregame shows now is we have officially hit the point where there's too many people on the table. The thing's just too crowded. And so because of that and the way TV works, basically you get 90 seconds to say something.
You just want
something.
Jimmy the Greek, Irv Cross, Phyllis George. Who else was on that group? Do you remember this is before your time?
Yeah. Like last night, you know what was a good watch? NFL primetime. I had Chris Berman, I had Booger, and I had Keyshawn. That was you know what I mean? Like I got all the perspective I needed. I got Boom not finishing sentences or thoughts. I've got Boog delivering takes.
I have to say, your thing you do with Mark, where you review the
film. It's film study. Yes.
It's film of the...
Of NFL primetime.
Of NFL primetime. Mm-hmm. It is a... NFL primetime is a review show.
Correct.
It's a highlight show.
It is
show.
A highlight show, yes.
And then you do a highlight of the highlight show.
You have to watch the film.
It is a weird kind of performance art that some people have come up to me over the last few years and said, what the hell are they doing? I find it mesmerizing. Anytime I tune in and I hear you guys critiquing the NFL, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And I find it wonderfully intoxicating.
It's niche, but you had to grow up with Chris Berman had to be a part of your life. If Chris Berman told you about the NFL at any point in your life, you understand what we're going through.
All right, let's take them one by one. Eagles win because they're good.
Yeah.
And because the 49ers had no chance because they were down to their fifth string quarterback. They had four quarterbacks who couldn't function, right? Because you started with Trey Lance.
I don't know. What do you consider your third string quarterback that's been knocked out but has to come back in to finish the game? Correct.
And so their top four quarterbacks were all non-functional.
Correct.
And so you can be Kyle Shanahan all you want, but you can't win with that. Like at some point. You know.
Okay, can I go a little meathead here for a second?
Uh-huh.
I am weighing this option. I love Shanahan, obviously. Anyone that like likes scheme, Shanahan's your guy. Because like he does so many creative things in the run game and he finds ways to get guys open. If you like schematic football, he's like the nerd's guy.
Right.
At a certain point, I find myself wondering, is his scheme getting guys hurt? Because every single year, it feels like we're dealing with a Shanahan quarterback. And is it because he's telling him to hang on to the ball so long? It's all play action. Is it that, or is it literally this guy is just...
bad luck.
He has just horrific luck. And because his quarterbacks oftentimes, none of them are really that good, if you will. It doesn't really matter.
Probably more like horrific luck. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there are numbers on this. People can tell you whether his quarterback holds on the ball more or whatever else. All of that's probably true. You then have, however, an Eagles pass rush that is just freaking hellacious. They will destroy you, that team.
Well, like, so for instance, like I was sitting there wondering, Hassan Reddick is going up against a tight end.
Right.
I know who I'm betting on 10 times out of 10 in that situation.
Right. I'd probably bet on him going up against left tackles most of the time, too. Yeah. Yeah. So you had that, and that was incredibly deflating just because there was no shot. There was no shot. It was, and I wonder what the ratings will probably be. The fifth best rated show in America in the entire year. But you do wonder how the ratings.
The AFC title game will get it, and then it'll be right there.
We do have Jake Elliott and Kenneth Gainwell going to the Super Bowl. Go Tigers! So that's nice.
A great name for a running back.
For
he
them.
Gainwell.
Did he say that?
Yes. That's it. He loves Gainwell. Just for the name.
And then you have the question of what happens with the Niners in the quarterback situation. Someone said to me that this means the Brock Purdy thing. No, it doesn't mean Brock Purdy, the worst thing that could have happened for Brock Purdy is he plays all game, throws four picks, shows he's overmatched and not up to the moment.
Agreed.
Here he didn't show he's not up to the moment. He got hurt on the sixth snap, and now you're longing for Brock Purdy. And so we don't have he's not good enough for this moment verdict on Brock Purdy. I think if you are the 49ers, you go into next year, you trade Trey Lance for a third, you have Brock Purdy, and you go get Tom Brady. Well, here, if you can get Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or whatever else, you go do that, and Brock Purdy is your backup, and you move on from Trey Lance. Otherwise, you can keep Trey Lance around and have Brock Purdy and Trey Lance.
So
Brock Purdy's QB1 going into camp. Is it as complicated as people want to make it seem?
I actually think it's even simpler than that. I'm not even convinced that they're – I think maybe they can get a veteran, and if they can get Rodgers, maybe. I don't think Brady fits what they want to do. Like, in the end, that's a lot of moving around for Tom Brady.
Right.
But, like, I just kind of look at how they laid it out. You had reports 2 weeks ago basically confirming, hey, they're going to stick with Brock Purdy, and not just for the playoffs. Right. They're sticking with Brock Purdy. And then you kind of do the math. All right, well – Kyle Shanahan was never super in on Trey Lance to begin with. His guy, now you can make the argument he was wrong too. His guy was Mac Jones. That was the guy that he liked. Well, Brock Purdy looks a lot more like Mac Jones in terms of like how he plays football than Trey Lance does. And to me, it's just like, okay.
What's weird is they also looks like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I think that's but like
and they're getting rid of they were trying to replace Jimmy Garoppolo.
But I think the thing with Garoppolo is Kyle loved Garoppolo if Garoppolo could have thrown the ball, like, 15 yards farther. I think, like, in the end, like, that's kind of what it's just, like, it's limited. But it's not – and that's kind of, like, why they wound up going after Trey Lance. But
well,
to me, it's, like, all the things line up.
Cheap Garoppolo is better than expensive Garoppolo.
Correct.
And cheap Garoppolo is Brock Purdy.
Yes.
Like, so you get cheap Brock Purdy, and that seems to be – I would imagine heading into – that heading into next year, the likely scenario is that Brock Purdy is their quarterback.
I think I'd bet on that.
Trey Lance is dealt because, or not. The argument for dealing him is that he hasn't completely proven he's not. There's still enough mystery there, whereas if you liked him coming out of college,
sure,
you can still say tools. Whereas maybe next year, if he plays, because Brock Purdy gets hurt, whatever, at some point you no longer be fooling yourself. So you get more for him now. I think you might be able to get a third or fourth for Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think that's entirely reasonable. I mean, I think in the end, you're moving on from him. You end up moving on from him because if you're not 100% committed to him, then you're just going to end up having locker room problems because right. inevitably one side's going to, like, half the people are going to side
so
with Purdy.
On.
Yeah, so you have to give yourself the you have to give yourself an actual chance.
And then the Eagles, you had Jalen Hurts acknowledging that when he got there, a lot of Eagles fans didn't want him there. That's just true.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, though,
it wasn't anti Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
It was what the hell are you doing?
Correct. It's like it wasn't
like we hate him.
We have Carson.
You don't really boo your second round pick. You boo first round picks that make you mad, like Donovan McNabb was booed
correct.
When he was drafted because he was a first round pick. You don't boo a second round pick. You just say, what are they doing?
Correct, because it's like when the Giants took Davis Webb in the third round, and you had the entire front office going, this is a win now year. It's like, if it's win now, why are you taking a backup quarterback in the third round? Like, you don't need – we need other pieces. You said you're trying to help Carson Wentz out. Like, you're trying to retool the defense. Like, why are you wasting a second-round pick on a guy that's not going to play? Well, lo and behold, it ends up being the guy.
Obviously, there were some officiating issues in that one, a catch that was not. It's a bad look, and the officiating was, like, we're talking about officiating. People are talking about officiating today. I don't know who would have caught that. Like, if you saw right after the catch,
yeah,
he's knocking his hands together, meaning
correct.
Snap this ball
correct.
Quickly. So I guess the 49ers, even if they hadn't seen the replay by then enough to challenge, could have known by the way Devontae was acting that he hadn't caught it and thrown a challenge. But what do you think could have gone better there beside the original call being right as opposed to wrong?
Yeah, and like in real time, didn't you think it was a catch?
So
like,
I did. Yeah,
like,
that's the thing. I did.
I'm not going to kill the officials on that.
Right,
in real time, like I was like, oh my God, that was a hell of a catch.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm going to try to stay consistent on this. I hate when coaches emotionally challenge. Like in
right.
the end, like, you're mad.
And a challenge would have been an emotional challenge because you wouldn't have seen. You
didn't
have time to
nobody
see it.
Saw the angle until they, like, right when
That's
they
the
went
thing.
To commercial break. Like,
I think the
I'm
only
not,
reason you challenge is if you had seen him
correct.
Indicating, snap the ball quickly because I didn't catch it. And that would have taken a super.
But also, like, if you're on the sidelines and you go, if I'm the head coach and you go, you come up to me and say, hey, he just did a sign. I think that means he didn't catch it. I'm going to look at
like,
you and go.
What are you talking about? And the ball snapped, right?
Yeah. Like.
Yeah. No, and honestly, because of the game, the way it turned out, it was inconsequential.
Yes. I do think. I actually thought the officiating in that game was worse, but because it was a blowout,
it didn't matter.
It did not matter.
Right, that's exactly
but the
right.
game was so unorganized. It was just disjointed. They couldn't. Like, the first quarter took like an hour, but because it was. That game just left no doubt. The officiating had nothing to, was no part of the story.
Okay, game number two, 23-20, the Chiefs win, and there the officiating is much more of a focus. Although, let's be honest, on the third, on the
fifth down,
on the third and nine,
okay,
that they got to try again.
Yeah.
They just got to try again. The problem with the officials is they didn't stop the play from happening. That was the problem.
Well, the guy that was trying to stop it stopped himself.
Right.
It's like, well, if you're going to stop, if you're running in, go stop the play.
Stop the play.
Correct.
And the problem is that's where it was botched.
Yes.
I'm not sure, though, that once it was botched like that, that they did the wrong thing in giving him a second shot at it.
No, I mean, I think...
What are you going to do at that point? By rule, you have to.
By the letter of the law, like, that is an inadvertent whistle. You have to replay the down.
Yes. And so it looks awful. And then the fact that they sack him, and then they get a first down by penalty. Now, that series of downs, to be clear, they ultimately forced the punt. Doesn't matter.
Correct. That was a ball don't lie situation. I understand there's no way to do this mechanically because the way that officials are taught, if you are the back judge on the right side of the field, you're responsible for a eligible receiver. So you're not supposed to watch the quarterback. I freaking hate when a quarterback is working one side of the field and on the back side that he's not even looking at, they call a penalty over there.
Right.
I understand that that's not possible. But, like, that just drives me insane because he was – when everyone's like, oh, so, there's an eligible receiver. Like, okay, he was so not even working that side of the field.
That was a botched play by the on-field officials,
yes.
But no harm. No harm done.
I mean, in the end, it was like a, 10 yards of field position maybe?
No harm done. So then you had the
The block in the back on the punt return, or two blocks in the back on the punt return.
Yes, the block in the back on the punt return. And then you had the roughing the pass, the unnecessary roughness call.
Well, there was a hold. Sam Hubbard got held on the play where Mahomes escaped.
In the end, the play that was most consequential was the unnecessary roughing call.
Yes, because they still weren't in field goal range.
With Joseph Asai.
Yes.
And that's the correct call.
Yeah.
It's just the correct call. So if you're a Bengals fan, you can be using the other